In the name of the Father, and the Son, Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. In today's Gospel, we heard the cry of the disciples to the Lord, asking Him to teach them how to pray. And it's not only about what they should say, but also the understanding of how prayers work. And the Lord answered them with both how to say and what to say it, and also to understand certain aspects about prayers. We have the same cry also to the Lord when we cry to Him, teach us how to pray. Because simply, we heard the promise today, ask and it will be given to you. And we all understand that this is not always the case. That sometimes we ask for something that's not selfish, something that is good. And we know that this matches God's will, but it's not given. So how can we understand this? Is there something wrong about our understanding or the promise itself? Definitely, we believe that God does not lie. And what He said is right, and He is faithful to keep His promises. So maybe something needs to change in our understanding of the promise in order for us to have the whole idea about what does it mean, ask and it will be given to you. There are 7 factors that should be in the back of our minds to understand this promise. Of course, provided that we are asking for something that is good, it's godly, and it matches God's will for our salvation. The first factor is the factor of what is good. When I say I'm praying for something, I believe it is good. Then we look at the case of St. Paul. St. Paul, he has some kind of illness. He called it the thorn in the flesh. And he cried and prayed for God 3 times, asking God to remove this thorn from his flesh. He believed that this is for the best interest of the service. He needs to go and preach and travel often, and definitely being in good health would help him and help his ministry. So what he was asking God was apparently something that is good. But God had another idea about what is good for him. And He kept for him the thorn in the flesh, because God told him and made him to know it's not his health, but actually his humility that God wants to preserve. It was the danger of being proud that God wanted to protect St. Paul from. So before we come and question God if He meant ask and it will be given, we have to first to define what is good. You remember some of us lived this time in 1981 when the Pope, Pope Shenouda, was kept under house arrest in San Bishoy Monastery. And we all were grieved, and we felt that it's something that's evil and something that shouldn't happen to the Pope, and we're so angry and upset because of that. And then a month after this, we understand that this was the ultimate good for him. If he was accompanying the president of Egypt by then, he would be killed in the assassination that took place a month after the house arrest. So now we should understand that maybe we don't see what is good truly, we don't understand it. Something like death, we all look at it as something evil, but this is not our opinion when it comes to the death of our Lord. This was the ultimate good that can happen to mankind. The second factor to understand the promise is the factor of the future that we do not know. Some of the servants once said, if we know what God knows, we will choose what He typically chooses. The problem is we don't have all of the givings. So we make hasty decision on this is good, this is bad, but this is sometimes will differ when we know the future. There was a story written in the Synaxarium about the death of the son of Al-Ma'allim Ibrahim Al-Guhari. He was only son, and before the day of his wedding, Ma'allim Ibrahim was of course so happy and preparing for this big day, and this young man fell and died. Ma'allim Ibrahim stumbled in this. And he, in a way, as if like saying to God, I'm not going to pray, there is no point, and I have a problem with understanding this. So in a dream, an angel appeared to Ma'allim Ibrahim, and he, as if like, played for Ma'allim Ibrahim a film showing what will happen, would happen if the son lived. After his marriage and living for his with his wife for a certain time, then they have some problems and some bad company befriended his son and then convinced him to divorce his wife and change his religion, and he became a Muslim. Ibrahim, go ahead, Ma'alim Ibrahim, seeing all of this, at the end, the angel asked him, now knowing the future, would you like us to go back and I return your son to you? And he said, no, I wouldn't definitely accept or be happy to know that this might happen to my son. And I would choose the same choice that God chose for him, to terminate his life earlier than what I expected, to keep his salvation. If we know the future, we would choose what God chose. Another factor we have to keep in mind before we ask God why you didn't keep your promise. The third factor is the factor of all things together. Meaning, we know the verse very well, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. If we look at certain situations in the life of Joseph, the son of Jacob, each one of them is evil. And I'm sure he prayed for God to lift it up from him. Like, his brothers hated him. This looks like evil. And maybe Joseph prayed to God, God, please make them to accept me. I don't have any kind of ill feeling towards them. Maybe he kept asking God many days, why they hate me? Can you do anything to change this? Another thing is throwing Joseph in the well. Maybe at that time he prayed, God save me from their hands. Selling him as a slave, working in Potiphar's house. The false accusation against him. Staying in prison, being forgotten by the butler. All of these things together, each one of them was evil. But when we have all of them together, and I'm sure all of his prayers at that time to do something opposite were not answered, but all of them together made Joseph to end up being the second man in Egypt. So that's why we have to understand maybe what's happening now, that I am praying to God fervently, take it away from me or help me to get over it, and God is not responding, but God is not forgetting his promise. But actually, maybe there are certain other factors together will do you good at the end of the story. The factor of all things together should be also in the back of our minds to understand the promise of God. The fourth factor is the factor of the work in progress. What do I mean by this? When the people of Israel cried to God to save them from the hands of the Egyptians, because they were treating them very badly in Egypt, God heard. And when he heard, he started his action, preparing the one who is going to deliver Israel. And this was Moses. Moses needed time to be prepared in order for him to carry on this great service, delivering 2 million people out of the land of Egypt, leading them in the wilderness, teaching them how to know God and worship him. This was not a small task. This took how many years? 80 years. So God heard and he responded, yes, I will deliver you. Ask, it will be given. It is given. But there is work in progress here that lasted for 80 years until Moses was of age to take the people out from Egypt. Even something like the evil decision of Pharaoh to kill the Jewish children. Maybe at that time the people of Israel prayed and said, God, we prayed for you to deliver us from the slavery. Now they are killing our children also. Where are you? Why are you not doing something? This bad decision made Moses to end up in Pharaoh's house, in his palace, and Moses learned leadership in the house of Pharaoh, and this helped his mission at the end. What looked like something that's not good, it was work in progress. The hasty decision of Moses, when Moses decided, I'm going to deliver my people now, and he went and he killed the Egyptian who was mistreating the Israelite. This was a bad decision. And then what happened? He had to flee. When he fled, he went to the wilderness to learn how to be a shepherd, and this took him another 40 years. So maybe when you prayed, God answered. Maybe God actually received the request, but there is some kind of work in progress. Don't lose heart when the response is not happening immediately and soon as you wished it might be. The fifth factor is the factor of the alignment of the requests. What do I mean by this? In every thing we pray to God for, there is another dimension, which is eternity. And we all have this common request: God, save me, save my family, make us to end up in heaven with you. So whatever we pray for, God will always have to align both requests together. If your primary request now is met with the secondary one, God will grant you both. At least will grant you the thing that you are asking for now. But they are not coming in line together, then God might deny you your primary request today. What do I mean by this? There is a story about St. Augustine when he wanted to travel and study in Milan. And we know St. Augustine in his young age, he lived a prodigal life, away from God and away from everything that's meaningful, of purpose. And then his mom, St. Monica, kept praying, God, please deliver my son, save him, make him to understand what is good and what is bad. So when she heard that he wants to travel and live in Milan, she was so troubled. If he is doing what he's doing before my eyes, what will be the case when he travels and go away? So she kept praying, God, please do not allow my son to go to Milan. This was her secondary request. The primary one was for him to be saved. But God did not grant her request. And St. Augustine ended up in Milan to study law there. In Milan, he came to know St. Ambrose, the Bishop of Milan, who introduced him to Christianity. He gave him the biography of St. Anthony, and he became the saint that we know today because of this visit, the time he spent in Milan. That his mom thought this will make him to be like gone forever. St. Augustine, commenting on the story, he said, God, you denied my mom her request that day in order for you to grant her request that's for every day. Her ultimate request for him to be saved. But what she was asking for was not aligned with her request for her son to be saved. This is another factor that we have to keep in mind. If both requests are aligned together, God will grant them. If not, he will have to sacrifice the temporal for the eternal. The sixth factor is the factor of the other's will. God can do anything except to twist the arm of a person and make this person to accept to do what is good. God can maybe meet with us, talk with us, maybe like make us to go through tough times. But when it comes to my will, he will never violate this gift, the gift of the free will he granted to Adam from day one. This never happened and will never happen. What do I mean by this? Christ prayed on behalf of his disciples and all of us, and he said, Father, I desire that they also whom you give me may be with me where I am. It's a clear request and prayer. And who is praying here? It's Christ. And who is responding here? God the Father. But we know that one of them did not end up where the Lord is. When it came to Judas, he was not able to enjoy this fruit of this, the fruit of this prayer. So what was the problem here? God did not respond to him? No, because there was his will. This has to change from inside. God will talk and will try to come to us and visit with us and make all the reasons for us in order for us to know what is right. But at the end of the day, he will not violate our will. He will always respect what he gave in the beginning. This factor of other people's will might be the hindrance of our prayers. We are asking and we are praying, things are not happening. Maybe something needs to change in the heart and mind of another person. The seventh factor is the factor of the big picture. The good example of this, Moses was denied to go to the promised land because of the mistake he made when he struck the rock for the second time. And he prayed and he asked God many times. But here we know how God responded. But the Lord was angry with me on your account and would not listen to me. So the Lord said to me, enough of that. Speak no more to me of this matter. Don't talk to me again about you going into the promised land. It's not going to happen. So we go and stand before this and say, God, you promised, ask and it will be given. But there is another bigger picture than this. Moses was a symbol of the law, and the people of Israel represented us. The law will not be able to get us into the promised land. But who can lead us there? Joshua. And Joshua is Jesus, the Savior. So there is something behind the story, a bigger picture that Moses was not able to comprehend. At the end of the day, what he was denied was what? Seeing a land. Now he is seeing the real land, the land that will stay forever. The promised land was nothing to be compared. God denied him his request because there was a bigger picture beyond Moses. Maybe your story, your part in the story, is part of something bigger than you. And may God, when he's saying today, don't talk to me about it anymore. I'm not going to grant this. Maybe there is a bigger picture. I need to enlarge my heart and my mind and my vision to realize maybe there is something bigger than my request. The story in Acts 12 is another example. We read this. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. We know from the story that God delivered Peter later on. So now we look at this story and see Jacob was seized and killed, and Peter was seized and was released by God. What is the difference between both of them? Did God favor Peter over Jacob? Did God, in a way, heard the prayers of the church to deliver St. Peter and did not heed the prayers of the church on behalf of St. Jacob? Again, this is one of the sceneries from the Bible where we see there is a bigger picture. God has a plan for this person and for this person. He loves both of them. He loved Jacob when he allowed him to be killed, and he loved Peter when he delivered him from prison. We have to accept both. Sometimes we find this happening in our lives. People are sick, and God will save them. And people are sick, and they pass away. In order for us to understand, there is something bigger than the event. God loves both of them, and God heard the prayers of the church on their behalf, both of them. All of these factors should be in the back of our mind before we doubt that God is really faithful in his promise. Why and how should we pray then? If this is the case, we do not really understand what we are praying for, then why we should be praying? We have three reasons to mention. We pray so that God would intervene in our lives. Don't assume that God will work regardless. No, it's not going to happen. God will work if you ask for him and for his will to be done. God will never force himself in your lives or mine. Have to keep this in mind to ask him, please intervene and do what you see it right. We trust your judgment. Please come and work with us. We also pray because having these factors in mind, we pray for his will to be done. We pray trusting that he knows more, he knows better, and he cares more than we ever care about ourselves. Also, we pray so we can know, understand, and accept his will in our lives. It is something else that when we accept whatever he allows, it doesn't mean that we don't feel pain, but we say, your will be done, we will work with you, because we trust that you are all wisdom, and God is all kindness and all love. Today the Lord said, and he promised, and he is faithful, ask, and it shall be given to you. Have to understand these factors when we ask God for anything, knowing that he will respond in the way that he defines as good. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.